as well, because in the current climate, and I just want to share with you some inspiration, I suppose, because there's so many things that you can just literally decide to not be available for. Like, I'm not available to fail, but at the same time, and this will sound bipolarish, but it's an attitude that I think one needs to have so that you don't worry. You worry yourself sick about certain things. I also actually don't care if everything does go back to zero again, and I mean zero as far as assets, zero as far as clients, zero as far as business, zero even as far as life and relationships, because, pardon me, I feel like I've been there before and I know that I can come out the other side and I'll be fine. So I promise that whatever the tough situations are in your life that you have faced or that you may face, you really do grow from it as a result. But anyway, I digress. So when the pandemic hit, because at the moment of making this, I'm 3 years into not having trained a single personal training client, and I'm 100% online just helping personal trainers with their business. But for the last decade, it's been a mix of me doing both of those things, and I never really advertised the fact that I helped personal trainers with their business. It was just that the personal trainers at the time would come to whatever gym that I was working in or whatever suburb I was working in, and we'd meet in a cafe, and I'd literally run them through 12 weeks worth of material based on their business to help them with growing their business. And it would be a face-to-face meeting. And even though the internet was around, I just never really spoke about it. But I've been doing that since 2004 and running them through things in small groups. Since 2004, and that 2004 group that first started was in Fitness First in Randwick in Sydney. And I started that just because the personal trainers at the time were asking me why are you fixing people's backs and what is this thing that you're doing with the stick? And I keep referring people to you and you're making them better in one or two sessions. How did that work? What are you doing? Can you teach us that stuff? So it really started from a teaching perspective, which I absolutely love. I love teaching. So that was a real genius point. I loved focusing on it. I also love having multiple projects. So, you know, it's all kind of health, fitness, and then they would go and implement that stuff with their clients. And I'd feel fabulous for, you know, being kind of a tool of it or a conduit to, I suppose, spark that kind of an interest in them and to help their clients in that way. And at the same time, you know, still training my own clients and still running two massage clinics at the time of that period and four staff within the massage clinics and only myself as a personal trainer. I think at that time in 2004, and then after that started hiring contractors within a big box gym, and that was 2005, 2006. And then, so the point that I want to make is that I shit myself sometimes as well, like figuratively speaking, but not literally speaking, sorry, figuratively speaking, because I've been doing the online thing now for 3 years and only online for 3 years, I guess I could live with my laptop inside a pool if I was in a warm climate, but I'm not inclined to do that because I think, you know, you're going to get your laptop wet anyway, so why would you do that? And while there's a lot of unknowns that are really, really present and really, really obvious, especially to other people that don't do this work, when you work for yourself, they're really present and really obvious. I literally don't know any other way. There was 2 years in my working life where I worked in IT, information technology, when I first started working as an adult. I worked as a receptionist in an accounting firm in Sydney CBD. I was only there for a few months. And then the IT guy that was coming in and fixing the stuff, I said, hey, Mark, I've got a diploma in IT that I just did a TAFE after I finished high school. That's what I did. And then I went and worked for Mark, but I pretty soon discovered my love of personal training and anyway, my love of fitness stuff. So he let me go part-time there while I was doing part-time personal training. And that was in 1998 that I started doing that. So anyway, I digress. My point is, so I've been training people in the body and their business and in the fitness industry for quite a while, but I still shit myself all the time. And I wanted to shed some light, especially in the current situation. There was quite a bit of time, and in my world, quite a bit of time is 20 minutes to half an hour. Like, I really don't like feeling fear and letting those thoughts accumulate, and then they attract another thought and another thought and another thought, and before you know it, you're on the real fear train of, oh my God, my life is pretty much going to end, and everything to do with anything across the board is going to go down. Like, you'll start to worry about your relationships, you'll start to worry about your income, you'll start to worry about your body, you'll start to worry about your health, and it just across the board reminds you of all the things that aren't going well, don't you find, if you let yourself indulge in those thoughts for too long. Now, I'm not saying to not feel your feelings, but something that came up for me when just before Corona was announced, the pandemic was announced around the world, in early to mid-March it was, we had gone to Bali. Now, it was before, it was at crisis stages, and we were meant to be there for a couple of weeks. We ended up coming home after just a couple of days. But because I'm training people in the fitness industry, I'm helping people in the fitness industry with their business, their personal trainers, a lot of them have their own gyms. Some of them work out of gyms, some of them run boot camps, right? But immediately I thought, wow, okay, they're not going to be able to do face-to-face sessions. We're going to have to transfer to online. How's this going to go down? And I got stuck into the how, and I actually started worrying about how. And I started thinking, well, if they can't train their clients and they can't pay me, then I won't be able to be paid. And just being honest, that's the thought that I had, because that's the truth, right? And it's brought up now, it's been brought up a couple of times recently by the fact that even a couple of my friends have contacted me, said, you know, how is your business going, blah, blah, how are the people in the fitness industry going, wouldn't your business have been affected? Now, what actually happened was when the gyms closed, the gyms were closed on the 22nd or the 23rd of March, right, in Australia, and even prior to that, the week prior to that, they did it in the US, and I've got clients that are around the world, but the majority of them are in Australia. It's probably 60-70% are in Australia, and other countries that are close by, like New Zealand, but there's the odd one in the UK, and there's a couple in the US. So I understand what's going on at a worldwide level, yet it still highlights the problems that I helped them with in the first place, which is how to stand out and how to actually accentuate their business through the channel of which is their genius, which is the bits that they find the easiest to do and the bits that they enjoy the most, which has often got to do with the goals that they find are kind of untapped into, the ones that they're the most insecure about as well, the ones that they think, I'd love to do that, but I couldn't possibly. So it's those kind of thoughts. Anyway, so within the day in Australia, anyway, of the gyms being announced, okay, doors have to close. I think we've got 24 to 48 hours notice over here. Now, I'd been back from Bali already about 8 days, and we were in isolation, and by then I knew everything was going to be fine, because that fear that I felt of, oh my God, if they don't have any clients, they won't be able to pay me, which means then I won't have an income. That fear that I felt for that couple of minutes, it felt like it was probably 20 to 30 minutes, but I actually, looking back at it now, I remember where I was sitting. Poor me, I was actually sitting by a pool in Bali. And funny enough, I had taken one of my really good friends with me, who also happens to do some admin work for me, right? Now, I'd taken her with me. She had been away for a really, really, really long time, not away from her kids for like 15 years. So that was a really interesting holiday to take her on, and she had to leave and come back early. Anyway, I digress. So I was chatting to her about it, and she said, well, no, not really. Like, okay, so no, you don't need to make a blanket announcement, because I wanted to announce to my clients that, you know, if their business was going to be impacted, they would be able to change the repayment structure in which they repay me. So I ended up, I did announce that, but I didn't do it right then and there from a place of fear. I did it a couple of days later, and I tagged everybody on it and sent them a personal message. And I also brought all my older clients back into my VIP group. Anyone that had been a VIP and done a couple of courses with me got back into the group, just so that I could through that transition of transferring to virtual and online, because it was like very unclear about what's the rule, can I train one or two people a month, can I train outdoors. But I really, what I wanted them to do was just make the decision to switch to online now before you wait for what the government says, because it is all about making your own decisions when you run a business rather than needing to be reactive to what the government or anybody else says or any climate situation, regardless of if it's a pandemic or if it's a bloody strong wind. I want you to always to actually just figure out that you've got to make the decisions yourself at the end of the day. And sometimes you won't have a long time to think about what might be the result of making that decision. You just have to make fast decisions, and you will make the wrong decisions. I've made plenty of those as well. So there, it was probably 20 or 30 seconds. It felt like it was 20 or 30 minutes. I remember sitting there with Mel discussing the possible options. And she said, no, don't type anything in the group now. I have to think about this for a minute. Here's the possibility. I hardly remember what we discussed, to be honest. It was something about, you know, here's what might happen, here's what could happen. And she's very practical and logical. And I'm the, oh, no, here's the way out plan, like 10 times bigger than what she is an accountant. She hasn't got an accountant background will actually plan for. So I'll put their heads together. It's quite interesting. Anyway, I didn't post anything. I worried about it for 20 or 30 seconds. It was, felt like 20 or 30 minutes, which is just far too long for me, because then you go into that whole cycle of, oh, what if, right? And I knew that that wasn't a good place to go down. Now, then I started to put plans into place about how this could turn out to be one of the best things ever. So I knew it was going to make all of my clients who had never made online material, I knew it was going to make them make material. I knew it was going to make all of my clients and an industry as a whole start to learn to use technology, even though they feared it and they're not good at it, and all the stories come up about how hard it is, and you know, lots of inner work needs to be done around that. I know, because I've been in that position as well. Now, I didn't have as quick a learning curve as what the entire industry has had, but I'm still phenomenally surprised on a daily basis about the number of people who have decided to close their doors and not transfer to virtual, because, you know, fast forward 7 days later, we're home. I ran that massive online seminar on, and it's on my website, katemartinmentor.com/resources, and there's a 2-hour replay of how to handle COVID-19 in your business if you're in the coaching industry, about, you know, all the technicalities of going online, insurances, and the mindset, most importantly, because you don't need to fold. Now, every single one of my clients within 48 hours transferred to virtual training. They didn't all do it flawlessly, but needlessly to say, they all did it. Now, was it hard? Yeah, it was an uphill battle for some of them, and it's a lot harder for some of them than it is for others. But at the end of the day, it comes down to an attitude of, what are you simply not available for? If you decide that you're not available to fail, then the world opens up to you a massive amount of unlimited opportunities, is what I'm trying to say. A massive amount of unlimited opportunities. But if you let yourself go down the spiral of, oh no, I don't know what to do, and I know that you might not know what to do. Trust me, that's been one of my mantras my entire life. I don't know what to do. And that's why I know that it's so strong and powerful that you must get rid of it. Because it doesn't matter that you don't know what to do. What matters is that you decide that you just simply are not available for anything other than the highest level of success and whatever that means to you. And it doesn't necessarily need to be financial. It might mean that you're always able to provide for your family no matter what. Now, I know that, you know what's interesting is that people who actually have a job have found that they felt more secure up until this thing hit. Because if they can't actually work from home, and a lot of people have lost their jobs, how insecure is that? Now, I might have worked for myself since I was 19 in some way, shape or form, but it's because I've always been simply unavailable to not make it work. I'm simply unavailable. I'm also unavailable probably to work for anybody else. I guess that's because nothing that's happened has ever been aligned. But I love working for myself. And what I love about this whole pandemic situation is it is clearing out the people who have the gumption to be able to work for themselves versus those that don't, or those that might be sick of it, or those that have had too much, or those that just can't pivot quickly enough. At the end of the day, just actually doing your sessions virtually or online doesn't solve the fact that you aren't bringing in more clients, you aren't standing out against the noise, and that your income's probably not where you want it to be, or that you don't know how to sell, or that you're not focusing on and shining a light on your genius, because then business just becomes easier. Now, yes, the majority of my clients transferred to online in 48 hours. Some of them had actually took them about 2 weeks because they peeled the Band-Aid off so slowly because they were still trying to do face-to-face sessions, and that was even more painful for those guys. Some of them dropped their prices. There was 2 or 3 of them out of 30 active clients that I've got that actually dropped their prices. But my point is, if I had a rewind prior to that middle of March, if I'd have sat in fear when they introduced level 3 and that we probably weren't able to train clients in big groups, that kind of stuff, if I'd have sat in fear for too long of, oh my God, what's going to happen to my business? But I didn't. The way, when I look at the structure of how I actually pulled myself out of that, and I didn't do it on purpose, it's just the way my brain works, honestly, but you can learn this method, is I started to focus on the other people that I help. I stopped making it about myself, because at the end of the day, my cause is not even about myself. And yours, if you're a coach, is also not about yourself. Yours is about all the other people that you help, and or on a larger scale than that, you're actually helping improve human bodies and therefore the consciousness of the entire freaking world. It is a very big project. Yes, I get overwhelmed with the size of my project sometimes too, but it also helps me to relate back to the fact that this is not about me, and it's not about my insecurities and fears, and I don't shine a light on them too often, even though I'm very human and they do come up. So I wanted to share that with you, because that moment there was very pivotal. But when I look back through my life, my God, there's been so many of those. And sometimes, yeah, I have collapsed in a ball and cried on the floor for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time and not being able to get up, you know, through breakups, through, you know, one was when I broke up with actually Stella's dad, and not that I was crying on the floor for losing him. It was more, shit, what the hell am I going to do, like, now as a single mum and not getting a lot of pay from him, and that, because that's totally fine. That's actually how we worked things out. It was all fine. But it made me super tough, because I decided I wasn't ever going to walk into Centrelink more than once, because I walked into the place in Australia where they give you the financial benefits and most of the people in there had no teeth. So I was not going to do that again. That was an incredibly confronting day. I was simply not freaking available for that to ever happen again. And rather than me thinking about that and pushing against it, I've focused on the opposite, which is the bigger goal. However, the other thing is, I'm actually just simply not available for anyone else to provide for me, to be honest. I think that's the underlying cause, because this is how I've worked for myself. It doesn't matter if it's a personal training business. It doesn't matter if I'm selling shit on eBay or Facebook Marketplace. It doesn't matter if I'm running an Amazon business, I'm doing a car wash, I'm walking door-to-door selling flowers. I'm going back, you know, a couple of decades here to when I was like between the age of 5 and 10, where I used to have my own little garage sales out on the driveway with my toys. I've simply not been available to not make money, because it's an energy and it's a flow and it's a service. So where can you be of service to other people? Right now, all of the structures of how that's done is changing, but you simply need to decide. And if you're one of the people that works for yourself, you just simply need to decide. And the possibilities are there. The how will open up to you once you decide, and not before. It won't happen because you sit in fear and you pray from a fear perspective, but you actually already know that, right? The how actually opens up. So if you want to know how to sell yourself, by the way, I've got a 7-day sales training that I'm producing, running live, or if you're listening to this recording and it's after the end of May 2020, then you can do the recording. It's less than $100. It will impact your life in every positive way you can possibly think of if you've ever had to sell your service or yourself, which, guess what, that is actually life. I'm going to go through everything to do with cold contacts, warm contacts, people renewing their things, and everything that I've ever done and I've ever developed for sales for the last 22 years of health coaching, and now the last about 12 years helping personal trainers just with their business. So I will spill the beans on all of that, but just to let you know, I'm also human as well. So I feel fear. Just don't get too far into it. If you've got any questions about anything, please feel free to hit me up. Otherwise, I will talk to you soon.